Hello, everybody. Welcome. I hope that you're doing well today, thinking about all of you. I'm really excited. We've got our special topic call today, and it's going to be a little bit of a departure from some of, well, each of the special topic calls really have been so different, but I haven't really done one specifically on marketing, and we're going to lean into some marketing and messaging today because it's something, just as I'm seeing and looking, I see that it's a good moment for all of you. And it does, in some ways, dovetail into your client work, too. And we'll look at that as well. So let's take a moment and get centered and settled. I invite you, wherever you are, to close your eyes and come into yourself. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up. Take in exactly what you need. As you exhale, let go. Really using the breath to connect deeply with this moment, with yourself, with your body. Inhaling, opening up. Exhaling and letting go. Using the breath to connect in with your wisdom, your brilliance, and all your passion, all that you hold inside. Taking a moment right now to set an intention for yourself as we step into the very important but sometimes frustration-making topic of messaging. Setting an intention. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open and bringing yourself fully present. Okay. So the way that the call is going to work today is we're really going to workshop a lot, meaning we're a small group today, it looks like, which is a little bit what I was hoping for, because my intention is, as we look at these different pieces around messaging, for you guys to kind of do some active work on the call and for us to workshop it. You know, there'll be a lot of shares and questions and coaching and hopefully some brainstorming so that you can make your messaging and your marketing, wherever you're at with it and whatever you're doing, start to begin to make it even more effective, even more activating, and I'm going to say even more revolutionary, and we'll get to that part in a moment. So we're going to be looking at marketing and messaging from a couple of different angles today and hopefully bring it all together. And before we even get to all of the angles, I've got some questions for you, just a little bit of an assessment. Right now, and there's no judgment, and there's no right or wrong, and there's no way that this is supposed to be. It's just so that you can kind of get the temperature for yourself. Right now, on a scale of 1 to 10, just how much are you marketing? In general, whatever marketing means to you. So 10 would be you are marketing, the amount that you're marketing is like exactly what how you want it to be, right? And for each of us, it's different. So 10 is your marketing in terms of amount exactly as much, doing outreach or newsletters or social media or networking, which is probably mostly online right now, or whatever it is, asking for referrals, right? So it's going to be, 10 is going to be different for each of us depending on how much marketing we want to be doing, how much marketing our business plan necessitates. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at with that? And then next question, for the marketing that you are doing, if any, hopefully for all of you it's at least a little bit in one way or another, how much of what you're sharing is exactly what you want to be sharing? How much of what you're sharing is exactly what you want to be sharing? Social media, emails, individual outreach, websites, newsletters, referrals, whatever it is. So 10 would be, it's exactly, you are sharing and saying and writing exactly what you want to be, and 1 would be not at all. And then from there, I'm going to guess for most of you that you didn't hit a 10 on either of those questions. I wouldn't hit a 10 on either of those questions. If you did, yay! But still tune in because we'll kind of look at important pieces. But I'm guessing most of you not a 10. So if you didn't hit a 10, for each of those questions, why? So why not as often as you would like? And why are you not sharing everything that you want to be sharing? So take a moment with that. The reason why I'm asking these questions as we begin to step into looking at some messaging topics and issues is because this has always been true, but through the pandemic and all the ways that the world is changing and will continue to be changed for probably forever, but at least for a while, it is more true than ever that we need to be persistently and consistently sharing, showing our leadership, reaching out, sharing the message. There's so much noise right now, and I know that there's oftentimes a fear to add. You know, we don't want to be contributing to the noise, and we don't want to contribute any noise. But we do, it's important if we are actively bringing in clients to, or students or whatever it is, to be showing up and sharing. It is also more important now than ever to be sharing what is most important to us, what we really want to be sharing. To not be hiding. We are in a moment in time, in history, where I hope the old structures that have not been working for most people are falling away. And I mean that both personally and collectively, right, on a personal level and a collective level. And you know, because of that, we're also in a moment where new, better personal and collective structures and systems and narratives and realities can be created. And that's where each of our businesses come in. That's where each of our sacred work comes in. But to do that, our messaging needs to speak to it. It needs to reflect it. It needs to hook into it. We have an opportunity right now. I mean, and you guys know I'm a realist, but I'm also, you know, I get inspired when I think there's the moment. And I really think that we're in a moment right now where there's an opportunity to create real change. Not any one of us, but collectively. And to do that through our businesses. But we need to be out there speaking truth to power. We need to be out there not hiding, really sharing the real message. We need to be out there inspiring and using our businesses as platforms for inspiration and for motivation and for galvanization. And that doesn't mean that you have to be doing activist work. That's not what I'm talking about. But you want your messaging, you use this moment and the energy that's moving right now for your messaging to activate and galvanize and bring people to you so that they can do the work to create the new structures personally or collectively. Now, the other thing that our messaging needs, and we're going to get to this in the second half of our call today, is to speak to those people in front of us in ways that they are going to be able to take it in and hear it. So we're going to get to that second. But I want to focus first on this speaking truth to power and what it means to really speak your truth in your marketing and to speak it consistently. Whatever consistently means for you, it's different for all of us. And I'm sure you all already know this, but I'll share it anyway. One of the best ways to attract clients and people that are following your work is, I don't say to be polarizing, you don't have to be polarizing, but is to be a truth teller and to really take a stand and put a line in the ground for what you believe in. As an aside, you know through your work in sacred depth that we want to be able to do this in our client work as well, reflect the hard truths. And not just the hard truths, all of the truths. And probably I've shared this with all of you before, but I am convinced that one of the factors in my have been able to create the business that I've created is because I was one of the first people, like a decade ago already, or maybe it was 8 years ago, that was willing to speak out around the not-so-kosher things happening in the coaching and transformational industries and the marketing practices and the business practices. And it was polarizing. And it turned some people away, but it also brought so many more people forward who really felt so deeply resonant and connected with me and with the work. So I think this is so important, and especially in this moment, again, in history, where there is so much, even so much more at stake. So let's pause here. We're going to get into like really looking at specific pieces for each one of you around this. and how what you want to be adding to each of your particular messages and how. But before we get there, I just want to pause here and see, and again, we're small today, so please feel free to raise your hand. What's coming up for you? Star 2, what are you starting to see so far, either through the little assessment that we did or just anything else that I'm sharing so far? Inbal.
So I joined about 5 minutes late, and I'm a little bit in like, well, this is not the reason for it, but I'm not doing any marketing at all. So I'm just like, oh my God. But I actually was just, well, and part of me is like,
and that is why we are having this call.
Right. And so I'm like, do I just like deal with my deadline and like, you know, and just like get off the call just to be like super honest. But I do want to mention that, you know, that one of my frustrations has been that, you know, again, that I'm like mired in this consultancy, and I spoke about it with Marcy yesterday, and, you know, there's a lot of things going on internally and externally. But I did want to say that one of the things that I was realizing is that I think I've really been able to show up for my clients during this pandemic in a way that they're really, yeah, in a way that, I don't know, I think that my support or my capacity is like more appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah, because and people like, need, the, and that's part of why we're looking, because people do need that kind of deeper support right now.
Yeah.
You know, practitioner, you know, not just Sacred Depths, but like Sacred Depths practitioner, you know, like what we know how to do, but we need, so it's like behind closed doors. I know you're a superstar. I know everybody on this call is a superstar. But that needs to translate into your marketing, too, that depth of the holding.
Totally. Totally. So it's like, I'm like, yeah, I wish people could see this because, yeah, and I think it's, you know, regardless that I'm not doing anything right now, that just, yeah, it really kind of built my confidence. And, you know, it's like I'm ending you know, cycles with people and they're like, yeah, just send me the new offerings. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yay. I'm so happy. I'm really like, I hope you're really taking that in deeply. And I get that you have a deadline right now. And if you can, I really want you to tune in here because I feel like you're ripe once the deadline is done to really dig in deeper to this stuff. So
yeah, totally. We'll
take you with all of your resistance.
Awesome. Right on.
All right. Who's this? 0684.
Hi, Joanna. It's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Wow. It totally resonates. I wrote, I want to be more outspoken. We asked us the question, what do you want to share? And I wrote down, I want to be more outspoken. I already am. Some people think I already am, but I feel the need and the urge and the desire to be more outspoken. I do with my newsletters. I do a lot on social media, mails, etc. But I thought when you're telling us about you can use your business as a platform for inspiration and to show up right now and to speak up and you can do this through your business, and there's so much noise. I totally agree. And we don't want to contribute more noise, even more noise. And we coaches, I think we're more black and white thinkers. We also see all the sides of one angle, to say. But I think I want to be more outspoken. So
yeah.
I felt some fire in my heart. No small flame, but some fire. Yeah.
So happy to hear that, Nicole. And I've watched you like over the last year. I think this desire started for you, you know, around a year, sometime a year ago, probably when we were in person together.
Yes.
And yeah. And then you wrote that incredible article directly after that. And you've been inching your way, and I feel like now's a tipping point for you to lean in even more. So I'm glad that you're feeling it. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So happy you shared this because it's the right moment for me. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. I'll take one more. Sarah, hold on 1 second. Tammy. I'll take two, Tammy. And then Michelle. Tammy.
Hi. I just wanted to say yes. But, you know, with what we spoke about yesterday and, like, what I've been thinking about, I just feel like the calling is there. And it really is my, like, talking about the priestess, you know, it really is my, I was just thinking about, like, my marketing for this thing tomorrow. And, like, I've been doing these freebies, but I've been doing them without, like, speaking necessarily about my work. And, like, that's a big deal. And so, like, when I show up tomorrow, I really want to show up, like, how much I have to share and offer and why, you know? So, yeah, I'm all about that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I feel like it's coming at a great time for that. I agree. I feel like, I mean, you always do so well activating and galvanizing your community, but it's time for you to put more, like, really, you've been sitting in your throne in other ways or on your throne, and this piece about showing your brilliance is ready for more. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, oops, sorry. I put you on mute. Hold on a second. There you are.
Sorry, I just wanted to add, like, I think for me, because I'm networking beyond just meeting people, that it really is important that it comes through my words on paper. Or
yes.
So, yeah.
Good.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And Michelle.
Oh, this is interesting to do today. Because my mom died Monday. Yeah. And I'll just say this. One of the most bizarre, I'm in the midst of one of the most bizarre, and I'm going to put marketing in air quotes, moments in my life ever. I sent a tweet saying my mom died this morning, hashtag shell shocked. And it's been, there are like over 1 million impressions, over 200,000 people responded to it. I've gotten like 1,000 more followers. I have people signing up on my email list. I'm like, this is weird. And so, it probably reflects that what I put out there is actually very lovely, and people can see that in my Twitter feed, and they want to connect to that. And so maybe today I want to be clear about what the magic is about what I do in social media. I know people love my newsletter list, and maybe I need to get clear about that. People loved it. Like, I tacked a different direction during this pandemic with my newsletter, and people have really loved it. And I just want to get clear about that, and that, you know, I'm probably going to be mourning for a good, you know, for the rest of my life, definitely, but hard for a long time. And I don't want that to, like, I'm not going to, like, tuck it away and, like, I'm back. I do want to incorporate that in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, this is our first voice to voice since your mom passed, and sending you so much love. And it's been holding you in my thoughts. And I think what you're sharing is such a exact example of what I'm talking about. Part one of the things I'm talking about, I want us to look at a bunch of things, but how speaking our truth and being vulnerable in our truth is actually kind of like one of the sexiest marketing strategies out there in a way. And I know that's not why you tweeted that tweet. I almost feel like it's like a gift from your mom above.
Yeah.
She's kind of like chuckling right now, you know, but the willingness to be vulnerable, you know, and speaking your truth. Exactly, Michelle, you're not going to stop marketing over this next year when the mourning is, you know, probably more intense. But at the same time, you're not going to pretend like it's all okay as you share with your community. And that is galvanizing and inspiring for people.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, good. Good. All right, let's keep on looking. So, all that, you know, being said, I want to ask you some questions. And don't, this is where, at the beginning of the call, I said sometimes messaging can be frustration-making, right? So let's just honor that we want to know the right answer. You know, I get the same way with messaging. Like, I need to know it. I need to know exactly what it is. And it's a process, right? And also, there isn't only one right answer, and it can change and evolve. So let's honor that it can be frustrating, but not apply any myth of perfection or need to know exactly to the questions that I'm asking right now. I want this to be an exploration to see what wants to come to the surface. Some pieces are going to be great. Others you may want to check. So first question, what are you not saying in your marketing, whatever marketing you're using, verbal, written, social media, email, website, presentations, you know, even enrollment conversations, any of it, what are you not saying about yourself that, and your work, like Tammy was bringing up a few minutes ago, that really actually needs to be spoken? What have you not been saying about yourself, your experience, so similar to what Michelle was sharing, and then your work, like Tammy and also Inval was sharing, right? That really, it needs to be seen. It needs to be shared. It needs to be spoken. What are you not saying about yourself, your experience, your work? It's hilarious to me now because, as you all know, I started off doing women's circles and rituals and goddess. And, of course, you know, when you're in the work with me, it's spiritual. But it took me so long after becoming a business coach to, like, actually talk about the fact that my work was spiritual, right? It, like, makes me laugh now. It took me so long to reveal that. Or to reveal that my clients stay with me for years. Some of it, you know, some of the things, it's like it just doesn't occur to us unless we're asked the question, which is why I'm asking you now. And some of it, it does occur to us, but we hide, right? So what are you not saying about yourself, your experience, and your life experience, and your work? That really needs to be said. So for Inbal, one of the pieces is like, what's happening right now as she's holding her clients through this period of time? That needs to be shared. Give you another minute with this one. I'll stop talking now, I promise. And remember, this is a moment, doesn't have to be the right answer, just anything that's coming to you, just put it down right now. All right, next question. In your marketing and in your messaging, all of it, what have you not been saying about your industry and your industry's practices that needs to be shared in your marketing and your messaging? What have you not been saying about your industry and your industry's practices that needs to be shared? So again, for you know, just to use me as an example, 8 years ago, I was one of the first to, you know, just say, I love the transformational industry, but these are the things that are out of alignment with the when people tell you to market, you know, like all the things. And then 4 or 5 years ago, I took it to the next level when I started to share that it's not just the marketing that's important. You need there aren't enough quality practitioners in the industry, and people are failing on their marketing promises, and we need to do better as practitioners. We need better skills. That was all of that, just FYI, was terrifying for me at first, like terrifying. But it was my truth. It needed to be spoken. So for you, even if you're already doing some truth speaking, like I see Christine is on the call, and I know you're doing a lot of that. Tammy, I know you do, like, you all do it in your own ways. I want you to go even further in this right now, just for fun, right? What have you not been saying about your industry and your industry's practices that needs to be shared? Now, if you're someone who appeals to people outside of your industry, it might be really awesome things about your industry that need to be shared that they don't know, right? Can be that too. So what I mean by that is, like, if you are working in alternative medicine, I don't consider, you know, traditional, like, Western medicine in your industry, right? So there may be things that you want to be saying about Western medicine, but then also what is it that you want to be saying about your industry? Hopefully that's not too confusing. All right, I'll let you guys think on that. And this might be helpful for this question. Like, I know that the practitioners that are attracted to working with me, which is all of you, you have a particular code of ethics, whether you realize it or not, around your work that is a higher standard than a lot of others in your industry. You've got a particular code of ethics. So think about, even if you've never thought about it before, it'd be great to write some of this down, too, because this makes for some great marketing material. Like, what's your code of ethics, right? And how does that line up with the industry? And don't, as you're writing this down, don't be afraid that you're going to, what's the term, throw someone under the bus. This isn't about hurting or shaming other people in the industry. There are ways to, you know, to word it so that it's not so. This is, again, about speaking your truth, right? So, like Adina, I see you're on the call. I have a sense that there are some things about the yoga industry or meditation that are important things that you know that need to be said? I'll give you guys another minute with this one. All right, I've got two more questions and then we'll pause and see what's coming through. What are you not saying in your marketing and messaging about your ideal client? What are you not saying in your marketing and messaging about your ideal client? And what I mean by this question is two things. There's two, it's kind of like a two parts to this question. So one is, what is it about them that you're not calling out in loving ways, right? So what is it about your ideal client and maybe some of their BS that you're not calling out, or their patterning that you haven't been calling out? And also, what is it about your ideal client that is incredibly amazing that you haven't been calling out? People want to be seen and heard, and they want to be seen and heard in both senses, like both lovingly they on their BS and their patterning, as well as adoringly on who they are, right? So an example of the latter, you guys have probably noticed maybe in my marketing, like I always talk about the fact that my ideal clients and my community are whip smart, right? Like I really only attract smarty pants people. My stuff is way too like intellectually and emotionally rigorous for most people. I call that out. My people are of high integrity, right? I speak to that. So what have you not been sharing about your ideal client? One of the, on the opposite ends of the things that I oftentimes call out is like, because my people are so smart, sometimes they think they don't need more skills, right? And I call that out. Take another few moments with that. And then last question for right now. What have you not been sharing around how you feel, this is a question with a lot of words, around how you feel about what's going on in the world right now? What have you sharing, have you not been sharing? This comes to like your, like a level of your activism, right? Around what's going on in the world right now. And in parentheses, part of that question is, and how does that relate to your work? How does what's going on in the world right now and what you feel passionately about and what you're seeing happening in the world right now relate to your work? and your message? That's a big question, but we'll see what comes through there. If you consider yourself a leader, which I consider everybody on this call to be, it is vital that you don't only speak about people, about the personal, but that you speak about the collective sometimes too. You must be an activist. To be a leader, you must on some level be an activist. Okay, we'll pause here in a moment. I want to hear what's coming through. Before I do, I want to make sure that I share this because this is really important. For the longest time, I thought about messaging as like it's this one thing. It's like this one sentence is my message, right? It's that same message repeated over and over and over again. What I've come to learn over the last couple of years is that that is true and not true. So, yes, your message is the thing that you are kind of saying over and over and over and over and over again, but your messaging is it's being shared in lots of different ways and lots of different contexts. And lots of different entry points, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. You're pulling in all of the different things that I'm asking you about right now. I share that with you in case you're like, oh my gosh, so much is going through. How am I going to boil this down to one sentence? The answer is you don't have to boil it down to one sentence. Okay, so let's take a moment and pause here. And again, I want to remind you guys, we're a small group today. I want this to be workshop style. So please raise your hand, start to, what are you seeing? What's coming through? Or where are you getting stuck? Start to. Is this Nicole again? Maybe it's 8451.
Oh, that's me.
Oh, hi, Viv. I always know. It's either you or Nicole always. I never know.
Yeah, so I know I actually, when you read her phone number out last time, I was like, did I push her too? So I think we just have like one or two numbers swapped. Mm-hmm. Gosh, this is huge. I mean, I don't really know where to start, but I knew I just had to like just put myself out there and not hide away here writing on paper and just share. I mean, a lot is coming up, Joanna. I think in terms of some of the, like, I've felt so galvanized through this time, but I haven't really known in what way. I just feel like I'm like percolating on so many different levels, and I'll like so much is coming through for me that I'm writing down, but I don't really know where to put it. But what I can, if I was going to pull like a couple things from what come up, is that I think in terms of what I'm not saying about what I'm doing is, like, sometimes I think it's like, oh yeah, there's the lab work and then there's the this and there's the that, but actually, like, what I'm really doing that I never said that I do is, like, rather than, like, just give a program or, like, do this integrative thing or, you know, in the most authentic way possible, it's actually, like, really walking people through the process of coming to understand what really works for them. And they'll come in with an idea of, like, what they should be doing to be healthy or what they think being healthy is. And then it's actually kind of like pulling all of that apart and helping them really understand, like, number one, what their body needs, what feels good for them, what resonates for them, what, you know, and really building their own experience and beliefs around their health and their body from that. And I definitely have never spoken about that.
Yeah.
Because it's like kind of like just a backwards or a different way of kind of doing it.
Yeah, I'm so glad that that's coming through, and that feels really, really, really important, because it's true, you do the lab work, you do the this, you do that, and those are all great tools, right, and we want people to know about that, but what they're actually receiving, aside from the results, like healing hormonal pieces or this and that, like what I'm hearing is, what you're saying is, like, they actually, the other thing that is so vital that they're experiencing that needs to be said is that they're learning how to take ownership of their health and their intuition and to be empowered, like, in the body that they've been given and know that they can heal.
Yes, totally. That's so it. And I feel like that's really important because it hits on some of the things that bother me the most about my industry, not just naturopaths or integrative medicine or even Western medicine. Because it's like, do this and you'll get this, do this and you'll get this. And it just, like, more and more striving, more and more self-criticism, more and more perfection. And it drives me bananas. Mm-hmm. So that felt important. That's it. There's something else that came up that if I can make it quick, because it's been, like, absolutely massive and it's hit in the quarantine and I haven't known where to fit it. Like, maybe it's just in my personal life or maybe it's in my work. I could bring it up now or I could save it for a share later. What works best, Brenna?
So if it's quick, go for it right now. Let's hear.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty quick. It kind of hit so hard. And like, all the work that I've been doing and, like, everything that I've been building, everything is, like, you know, we women, I saw that we were, like, doing it all and that we have all these freedoms, we have all these careers, but, like, you know, if we take care of ourselves, we can create balance in ourselves. And then this quarantine hit, and I have a great husband. Like, I'm a modern woman. He's a modern guy, but, like, holy crow. So I really had a firsthand experience of, like, the depth and the level of what we really are, not up against, but in as women of our generation and how far we still need to go. And I was like, oh man, I'm doing all this work helping women get healthier and healthier. But, like, really it's, like, in our lives, like, it just runs so much deeper than that. And, like, to the whole culture and this and that. And it's kind of outside of my area, but it directly impacts women's health.
I love this. And I'll tell you what phrase I'm hearing in my mind, which you, I don't know if it resonates, go with it and see what wants to go with it. But it feels like there's a piece in there around, if you are a woman, your mindset and perspective around your health needs to be intrinsically different than the patriarchal worldview of what health is. Something like that.
Yes.
That's a lot of words.
Yes.
But basically, like,
yes.
If you're a woman, everything that you think about health has been not poisoned, but poisoned by, like, you know, kind of the standard, which only addresses men, not women.
Yes.
So something in there, I think, to play with, which
does
feed right back into your work.
Yeah, I got it. Cool. Thanks, Joanna.
Good. Yeah, thank you. Good stuff. Let's see. Athena.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. So thanks for the prompt before.
you like that call out?
I wasn't really thinking about that. I was, you know, around the, like, the yoga and meditation world. And okay, I'll start by saying, you know, most of my messaging is really geared towards the coaching work in particular, and that's been conscious because I've really been wanting to move into the coaching and sort of away from the teaching. You know, so I've talked about my ideal clients as mostly as like aspiring and early stage social and creative entrepreneurs and wellness professionals, which, you know, wellness kind of, you know, encapsulating that as a sort of subcategory of entrepreneurs. You know, so I've been focusing there. And now I have, you know, in the last couple of months started this new offering, which has sort of gotten, you know, sort of grown life of its own, that is back to yoga and meditation, but really kind of on a very different level than how I've been teaching those things in the past, which was sort of like very stovepiped into particular, you know, styles and lineages. And that's what I had been sort of feeling not fully aligned around. And now recently, I've been doing this offering three days a week, an hour of yoga and meditation, and really loving it and really growing, you know, just very slowly growing this little group that's committing to it. I started a new cycle this week, and a couple of people signed on for the 2 months. Version, and then additional people sign on for the 2 week, and so that, you know, it feels really, really good. And at the same time, I'm working more closely with a teacher who's really kind of pushing the boundaries around kind of breaking away from stovepiping and really integrating different lineages in a way that feels really, really beautiful and aligned. So in a way, now I feel like I'm sort of coming into this new phase of my teaching that feels really you know, really aligned and really juicy and fulfilling. But sort of my messaging is kind of stuck, you know, like in the coaching work. And I'm not quite sure, you know, it's, you know, so the teaching is really appeals to a broader audience. You know, it's really anybody who has been struggling to establish a regular practice and wants to do that. And, you know, and people who haven't really found quite what they've needed in the, you know, the styles that they've tried. And so I guess I need to figure out how to, like, broaden the messaging or delineate for those different, you know, potential clients. And, yeah.
Well, I hear you. Okay, so I'll tell you what I'm seeing. This may or may not resonate for you, but at least for the, you know, the teaching that you're doing right now, when you with your messaging that's just straight up for coaching. Well, I have something to say about that too, I think, but let's just focus on what's in front of you right now. What I think will help in all accounts on what you're talking about is speaking to, and again, you might not like this, but this is where I'm going, that yoga and meditation on their own is not enough to establish a regular practice. They're big components. They are big components of it, but there's another component, and I wouldn't call it coaching, But there's another component that is critical, which is having space held for you so that you can confront your resistances, your fears, your self-sabotaging actions when it comes to being able to really have ownership over your practice.
Mm.
How does something like that land?
Yeah, well, it strikes me as a little bit cyclical. Like what I'm hearing is like yoga and meditation aren't sort of sufficient. But then you're talking about, you know, looking at fear and resistance as it pertains to taking ownership of your practice versus, you know, of your whole life. And that's where, you know,
it can be of your whole life too. I was thinking specifically to, you know, around, I think that's the message once people are in. Well, no, it could be either. Yes. Yes to what you're saying. I like that correction. That's great.
Yeah. And interestingly, I mean, one of the themes that I've really been working with, both in the teaching and kind of, I guess, and as I'm not in any messaging that I've done, but, well, I guess a little bit, like even in the, you know, the newsletter, I finally put out. But, you know, is thinking of practice more as like the whole ecosystem of practice and really looking at, you know, relationships to nature and to different aspects of our work and, you know, lives. It's like all part of
it. I love it.
Comprehensive kind of, you know, view of practice. And I think that that is a big part of the message that I've been talking about, you know, with this crew, my little morning practice crew, is that, you know, the idea of practice as being this sort of separate thing that we carve out space for is such a Western idea, right? That we have like this rigidity,
yeah.
We have to like, you know, have our morning meditation. And like in East, where these.
So speak to that, like next newsletter or social media post, that would be a great thing to speak to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and then just one last thing for now, Adina. When you are messaging specifically for your coaching services, don't leave out who you are as a yoga instructor and meditation instructor, I don't know, however you call it. Like, even if you're not leading them through yoga and meditation in the coaching call, though you never know, might come up, right? You're still bringing all of the wisdom from that into the coaching that you're doing. And I think that that's important, and I don't want you to shy away from that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Pinball.
So the main thing, it feels like it was journaled this a long time ago, but I think that one of the things that I saw in terms of like what bothers me, you know, I have like, I don't know, like a thorn in somewhere. I don't know. I can't remember the expression, but around like executive coaching. So I was just amused that, I'm just realizing, like, in the last couple of months, my range.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, from relationships and sex to leadership and management and, you know, and all of, like, the underlying patterns and beliefs and connections and that. So much of what bothers me is that we don't see people as whole.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's like, it, you know, that there's something around like all of these different like professional coaching and this coaching and that it undermines, our wholeness and really like and separating ourselves into so many different parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and that it's really kind of sad that, like, you know, quote unquote life coaching is not deemed as important as everything else.
Yep. It's so true.
Right.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Just life,
it's
right?
So
it's not
right.
Your business.
Oh my gosh. I never even thought about that, but you're right. It's like life coaching these days is relegated to like, she doesn't have an expertise. Like it's not really a thing.
Right. And it's like, wait, this is actually the most important thing. And you're not just cut up. Like, and of course, like there's, you know, like I'm not going to coach. Like I don't have, like, I can't coach on sleep like Erica does, but mm-hmm. I work with with a couple of parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like, oh, parenting skills, but it's about around like them as a parent and how they show up. So I don't know. I think that there's something there around how that, you know, is perpetuating how society. Yeah. It's like, you're this person when you're there. But then of course you don't feel like, it's not that people don't feel whole, is that it's like, yeah, it's that we're like cut up into these parts.
Yeah. So a couple things. So first of all, I can totally see that as an article that could be really compelling. I think it's important for you to speak that and express that, write that. The other piece is, I don't feel like I've ever really seen in your marketing, Imbal, you lay out clearly all the different ways or areas of life that the work that you do with clients can support.
Yeah.
And I think that that's an important piece to start layering in. Yeah?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Okay, good. I'll let you work. So, you know, if you have any other cues on that, just let me know, but I'll let you sit with that.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Nicole.
Hi.
Hi.
Really interesting what Imbal was bringing up just right now. And I was thinking about the life coaching, executive coaching. I was a little bit confused about what industry I'm in. It may sound a little bit weird, but I'm in coaching industry. I call myself a leadership coach, personal leadership, but I also help women make powerful choices. So I was thinking, what industry am I actually in? Because I like to write. I see a lot of blog posts coming up after this call because it's so rich in content. But what industry am I actually in? Because sometimes I speak about quality in coaching, about blah blah coaching, a lot of noise around coaching. But I also write about I talk about choices and how people can really make choices on their own terms. And not listening to all the blah blah and business coaches out there saying you have just one concept and you follow me, you will be happy forever. So on your own terms is very important in my work. And I thought, it's like I'm hanging on two legs. Do I say it like this? what industry am I in? I was a little bit confused. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially because in the transformational industry, there aren't specific, you know, this, and that. But it does sound like, Nicole, I would put you in, like, either leadership coach, you know, definitely coaching, right?
Yeah,
so that is
yeah.
Your industry. And then, you know, I think your niche is leader. Is it all entrepreneurs that you work with? Or
80% entrepreneurs and also decision makers. So they're
manager. I think leadership coaching for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, for you, I love all the things that you're already writing about, but where I sense that could, like, what could be valuable for you is to speak about misconceptions around leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or how the notion of what a leader is changing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you why I'm suggesting that, like, based on some of the things we've been looking at?
Yeah.
To, again, not be triggering, but to be a little polarizing and to set yourself apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also wrote about the introvert leader, because we all have some kind of image of what leadership should be about. But I think you can be a leader on your own terms, to be from the inside out and not from the outside in.
So,
to live up to
know,
the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that may even become a bigger piece for you in your business, the on your own terms leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see a workshop around that. A program, but you know, you could speak about the code of ethics of the on your own terms leader.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, it really helps. Yeah, I think leadership coach is that suits me well. But I thought, is it coaching? Is it leadership? But it's both in combination. Yeah. Thank you.
Makes really sense.
Yeah.
All right. One more share, and then we'll look a bit more. Tammy.
Okay. So I think what's coming out most for me is with everything that I've been through in the last year, you know, that was like a mirror, like a small mirror of what's happening now. And, you know, my voice has always been about being empowered within your body, and that we have the ability to heal ourselves if we can kind of get beyond a lot of our limiting beliefs, right? But what's happening in the world right now is Western medicine has completely failed us. And this is like a wake-up call from the universe to really understand that there's way more that we need to understand and be empowered by and research. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I've been gently trying to open this idea up to people, because, you know, there's so much around conspiracy theory if you don't believe what everybody else is believing. And there's so much judgment that is like beyond what is supposed to be, you know? And so I've been gently doing it without triggering people, because I'm unearthing like old beliefs that have been, you know, a part of quote unquote science for a really long time. So I'm also trying not to be activated from my anger and, what I know is happening, and I want to fucking scream it from the, you know, rooftops, but I can't. So that, like, when you talked about, like, when I'm not messaging about, like, I have been messaging in really quiet ways, and I know that's, like, where I need to be, but I feel like I need to do it, like, later, even more. So.
Did you say later or laser?
Laser, yeah.
Laser, yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And you said something that you don't want to be motivated by your anger. And I just want to say, I disagree. You want to navigate and keep in check how you direct your anger and how you express your anger and channel that, you know, into the laser, like the aligned ways. But remember, anger is fire, and fire is motivation. So long as you're in healthy relationship with it, use it to motivate the messaging. I think that that's totally appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to offer, like, what people are so focused on right now is, like, the fear and that we have no choice, but we do, you know, and there's thousands, hundreds, billions of people that can show you that, you know, but no one's listening, so.
So I would love to see a newsletter article from you with the title of We Do Have a Choice.
And I've been writing that, like, in a lot of my newsletter, but yeah, I could see that being, like, a topic.
Yeah, like more focused. Like you're saying, more
laser.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Okay, there's another piece. I know we're stirring up a lot here. And like I said, like we're not, I don't want to tie this all into, maybe I didn't say this, I don't want to tie this all into a neat bow so that you walk away with the one sentence. That's not my intention for our time together today. My intention is to stir up ideas and for you to start putting them out there. Because again, messaging is not just a one-liner. So there's another piece of this that I want to make sure we look at. And that is, yes, in marketing and messaging, you want to speak your truth. But the other piece that's really important as you speak the truth to power and all the different ways that we've been looking at and speak your truth and reveal yourself and reveal what you know and what you see and what you stand for is that, and you guys have heard me say this before, but I can't say it enough times. It's a lesson that I keep on having to come back to in my own marketing, which is that people, for better or worse, choose to invest their time, their energy, and their money from their reptilian brain. In other words, when someone makes a decision to buy something, 9 times out of 10, the decision is coming from the part of their brain that is telling them, I need this thing, whatever they're going to buy, in order to survive. I need this thing in order to survive. We don't ever want to prey on people's fears. I want to be clear about that. We don't want fear-based marketing. But when we message and market, we do need to be aware of the reptilian brain. We don't want to activate it, right? Again, that would be the fear-based marketing. But we do want to speak to it. And one of the skills of effective messaging, and again, this is one that I'm going to be a lifelong learner on, I keep on coming back to, is we want in our messaging and in our marketing to hook, be able to hook in to what people really want and in integrity help them see that they want it now, right? For those of them that do that, there is an urgency to the thing. Without hooking in to the reptilian brain, and by nature, the reptilian brain kind of functions on urgency, right? So without doing that, there becomes a much bigger gap between, like, the person that thinks you're awesome and thinks your work is incredible but is ready to buy it. So, for example, I'll give you an example from my own work. I could speak from now until the cows come home, let's say for Sacred Depths, for coach training. I could speak forever on how amazing it is to have deep transformational skills, how, you know, important it is to do the deep soul work, and you get results, and, you know, all the things. People will love that. They will eat it up. But only a tiny, 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 tiny self-selected group is going to be smart enough and not so much in their reptilian brain to be like, oh, okay, so I'm going to invest in that. I need to take that a step further and say, if you don't want to get caught like a deer in headlights in a client situation where you don't know what to do or your client is mad at you, then you need to do the deep soul work and you need the Sacred Depths coaching skills. If you want to stop feeling like you have no confidence, if you want more, put it in the other, because it can be in aspirational terms too, if you want to feel deeply confident and like the leader that you are when you're with your clients, you need the skills and the soul work. If you want to grow your business without having to work so hard and have some of that growth be through repeat clients and referrals, no marketing trick in the world is going to get you that. You need the transformational skills. Do you guys see what I'm saying? I'm not preying on people's fears, but I am hooking in to the reptilian brain and to the sense of urgency. And I'll be honest, like, I feel like I still have a far way to go with some of my messaging to really, really, really get into that urgent place for people. Me and my team are constantly working on that. I share that with you not to scare you and be like, oh my God, it's so hard, and if Joanna can't, then no, it's not that. I'm sharing that to say that you still can actually, a lot can happen even with an imperfect message, right? So, okay, so all that being said, what is it that you're not, that you haven't been saying that in your marketing and your messaging that relates to everything I'm talking about right now, to urgency and reptilian brain for your ideal client? Right, again, another piece, like, I know my ideal client is, like I said earlier, of high integrity. So when I speak about the fact that if you don't know how to hold a safe container and lead a client through this and that, it's out of integrity. In a way, for my ideal clients, like, that's part of our survival mechanism, to know that we're in integrity, right? It helps us feel in a safer place. So anyway, take a moment and think for yourself, like, what have you not been speaking to when it comes to your clients, ideal clients, reptilian brains, and sense of urgency? And right now, with everything that's happening in the world, I think we do need, not in a manipulative way, but things are urgent right now. They are. a minute or two with this. So you want to be thinking about what's really top of mind for your people. And you guys have heard me say this before, because all the people, all of you are smarty pants, because my community is whip smart people. Sometimes we get too smarty pants in our messaging. We speak to like what we think people need as opposed to what they think they need. We do obviously want to speak to what we know they need as experts, but we also have to hook into what they think they need. All right, so what's coming up here around urgency, reptilian brain, what your people think they need? What are you not kind of speaking to that needs to be spoken to? Michelle.
So I think for the writing support, it's easy, especially with the current economic climate, right? You know, if you're going out on the job market, which is going to be hard, you know, don't be caught having to throw together your writing sample. Get it done now. Call me. But for lawyers, and I'm actually using Business Networking International to learn more about what lawyers need. Like I know what I needed, and I think that speaks to what other lawyers need. But I'm clarifying that letter, so that message. So
mm-hmm.
I'm mushier about that. I think it's like, don't find yourself stuck in a dead end in your career. I think that's what they don't want, I think.
What does dead end in their career mean?
You're not getting assignments, you're not getting promoted, you're overlooked. And part of that is, and you're not able to build the other components of your life that you want.
Yeah. So you want to speak specifically, I mean, yes, to, you know, the dead end piece in general, and I can even see some writing. I'll tell you what I'm seeing, actually, a couple of things, Michelle. One thing is like a chart that is graphically designed,
mm-hmm.
and on one side of the chart is the dead end lawyer, or I don't know what you want to call it, like let's just say the dead end lawyer career,
mm-hmm.
and the other side of it, something around branding for you, like an ex-lawyer, you know, whatever the opposite of that,
mm-hmm.
and to list out each of the things.
Oh.
And get really specific. And then in other, you know, marketing pieces, messaging, like all of the specific things that you just laid out should go, like a lot of the magic is in the details and
mm-hmm.
getting, like, you know, sometimes we think we should skip over the details, but you actually want to lean into them. So what does it feel like when you're not getting assignments? what goes through your mind when you're not getting assignments, and then what ultimately happens when you don't get assignments. What does it feel like, you know, each of the things?
Mm-hmm.
You're hitting with the ball.
I like that. And promotion's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And there was one other that you said, I can't remember now. There was a time piece, but there was one other, like, specifically with the job.
Well, the other part of it is not building the other components in your life that you want, right? You don't date. You don't eat well. You haven't exercised. You don't sleep.
Yeah,
which is more, like, that's definitely, that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah, yes. You want to speak to all of those things. And then you want to speak to the combination of it. Like, you don't eat, you don't sleep, and then you don't get assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't get tossed.
This is helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Inbal.
I wasn't really able to get deep into this, but one theme that's been coming up for me over the last few months is like, well, two things. One is like, who do you actually want to be in the world? Because that's not a theory. Like, that's happening right now. And like, how do you want to, like, how do you want to show up? I know that's super general. But then the other thing that is coming up for me a lot, you know, like with myself is around like being complicit in my own oppression. Where it's like, wait, I'm actually like that. I'm actually like, you know, the one participating in, you know, in patriarchy and misogyny, like when I hate on my body. Or when I, and white supremacy, when I like take my own labor like for granted and don't honor my time. When, when I think about like, yeah, just like, just the ways that I'm trying to like internalize, you know, all of these really harmful, lethal, systems and kind of like do the oppressor's work like for him.
Mm-hmm.
In how I treat myself.
Mm-hmm.
And how I run like my own life. So it's like, wait, I'm actually like, not only am I working for free, but I'm, you know, in how I treat myself, is totally inconsistent with the kind of world that I am also creating.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like, I'm not actually participating in anyone's liberation when I don't honor my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Or when, you know, or when I burn myself out. And it's actually, oh no, you want me to be burnt out because then I won't have any energy.
Yeah.
To resist and create something like so much more equitable and fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, a couple things in this. So first of all, yes. And so when you're messaging it, where you want to, like, hook into first are all of the ways that your ideal client feels oppressed. The smarty pants part is that you're complicit in your own oppression. And I do think you need to get there, and especially because it's such a compelling idea. But I think people need to first even connect into how they feel oppressed, and to really activate the thoughts going through their head and the experience, the outer experience. The other piece is, so I think this has real legs. I think you have to be very careful around languaging. Like, I would love for you to put together an article, and I'm going to tell you what I think the article should be called, but then wait till I get to the end of it. Something like, you're complicit in your own oppression. But I would get in touch with maybe Makeda to make sure that from a racial point of view, it's, you're using language that makes sense and is nurturing for everybody. But I do think you should, like, going in a polarizing direction like that and then hooking in, but using the reptilian piece of hooking into how people feel oppressed could be very compelling. That makes sense, everything I just said?
Yeah, so I mean, basically, like, as a white woman talking about oppression.
Right.
What you mean,
it's, like, as a white woman saying that you're complicit in your own oppression, I would just want, like, oversight by Makeda,
yeah,
or someone,
sure,
you know, to make sure that that's a language that's nurturing across the racial, you know, just that it's not offensive in any way and that it's speaking. Because I know your intentions are well meant. I just don't, because I'm white, I don't know if that language makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Awesome.
I think like whatever the language ends up being, there are important pieces in there that I think are so much your truth involved and you taking a deeper stand for your truth, and that I think are compelling for your ideal clients because they are feeling oppressed and held back in so many ways. Good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's past 2:30, but I'm going to take Tammy before we wrap.
Thank you. You know, I keep running circles, you know, and I hear you being like, that's not enough. but, you know, what I never post on Facebook, you know, like you kind of opened me up to that. And so I'm part of a bunch of homeschooling things, Facebook pages now, and there's one that's like holistic health. And so I just wanted to share, like, I posted, and I share this because I think this kind of got to like the crux of like what it is I'm trying to get out there. But like, I posted an article about this disease that's going around that they're pinning on coronavirus, the children's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, I wrote in it, you know, it's hard to be in a world of fear these days, but we all know that knowledge and research can shift the darkness to mystery and to curiosity. With all the media that is out there right now, I urge you to want to know more. There's always more than one side of the story, right? We teach our children to think outside the box and to sense and feel into something rather than to take what is told. And I know there's been concern about this thing, you know, so this idea that, like, we want to teach, like, especially coming from this perspective of, like, moms and their kids and freaking about homeschooling and just opening up the homeschooling world, this idea that, like, what we teach our children to think and look and sense and feel, but, like, we've completely cut that off from ourselves. Like, we just take what is given to us and, you know. And, like, I feel like that's, like, I have to go deeper in that for,
yeah,
like, lasering it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed.
And to trust, you know?
Yes, yes. And this is so much where your heart is. And so it is the right direction to go in, 100%. I think you should, you mentioned this earlier, I do think you should speak to some of this tomorrow in your live and when you CTA the class. Because I think it's relevant and related.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I hope I've given you all a lot to think about and to sit with and to write on and stir with. Let me know how it goes and what you need as you move along. And I will talk to you soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.